Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. As always, I do desire and interest in your prayers as I stand before you. Very thankful for the prayer that's already been offered and for each of you that have been praying for me this morning. I ask you just to continue to pray. It's been good to be here at the house of the Lord thus far. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I begin reading this morning from chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 13. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. I'm sure this passage is very familiar to all of you, and we're just thankful that the Lord's left it on record for us to know some things, not only about our lives, but that which will come after our lives are over. We have God's Word to look to answer those kinds of questions. If we look to the world for those answers, we'll get all kinds of answers, but none of them will be correct. In order to find answers to these questions, the place to go is God's Word. Of course, we know that we need the Spirit of Almighty God to be able to understand God's Word, to rightly divide His truth. So we go with prayer in our hearts that, Lord, help us not only to read Thy Word, but to believe it and to embrace it and to practice it and to understand it. The Lord is the one who gives us the understanding. We sang a lot about this particular passage this morning already, and many of the hymns that we sang, it had expressed a belief in a place that the Lord has prepared for His people after we leave this world. And the absolute promise that every one of His children will attain that place by and through the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. That they'll be with the Lord not only in their spirit, and not only in their soul. Man, like God, made in the image of God, is a triune being. And he's made up of soul and spirit and body. And it's hard to separate sometimes the idea, the thought of the soul and the spirit. And when the Bible is talking about the soul and the spirit, it almost sometimes seems as if it's talking about the very same part. But we know from the Scripture that there's a difference between the soul and the spirit, and there's a difference between the soul and the spirit and the body. And the Lord, when He came to purchase His people, He came not only for their soul, and He came not only for their spirit, but He also came for their body. He came for all of them. The God of heaven, according to the Bible, had a love for His people, and He loved them in covenant even before the very foundation of the world. He foreknew them, Romans 8 tells us. And that foreknowledge embraces God's love. He loved them. He knew them and He loved them. He knew them in the sense that Adam knew his wife Eve. The Lord had an intimate relationship with them. He had a love for them. He loved them. Even before they existed, in His mind, He knew who they were. Isn't it wonderful to believe in a God who knows all things? He knows who His children are. He knows where they are. He knows what they're doing. He knows what they did. He knows all they're going to do. He knows all that they are, all that they would be without Him, and all that they are because of Him. He knows all things. God is a God of all knowledge. And He knew them. He knew them in their weakness. He knew them when they were His enemies. He had a love for them while we were yet His enemies. The love of God is what caused the Lord to choose us. The dear brother that I talked to this morning, he said, I often wonder why in this world the Lord would have ever chosen me to enjoy the things that I've been blessed to enjoy, much less having a sweet hope of one day being with him in glory. And the reason he said that is he said, because of all the sin that I've committed. And I thought to myself, well, I think my sins, if they were in a balance next to your sins, my sins would far outweigh your sins. It's not only the sins that I've committed in ignorance, but the sins that I knowingly today and every day of my life, even when I know better. You know, there was a time we did many things wrong and didn't really know we were doing it. There was a time in our lives where we didn't have a concern about that. But there came a time when the Lord awakened us and made us aware of our sinful state, and the Lord allowed us to see what sinners we are. I hope that's where you are today. I hope that's where all of us are. You know, one thing the Bible will tell every one of us is that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is none good, no, not one. That we all have come short. And that there is without the Lord only one place that we would ever reside and spend eternity, and that is eternal woe. And there would be no hope for us were it not for what the Lord has done. It's good to have the good news of what the Lord has done for us. Now, the Lord didn't do that for everybody. He did it for His people. He did it for His children. When Jesus came to die, He had His children in mind. When God sent His only begotten Son, He came for His children. He came to save His people. The Bible identifies them as my people. He identifies them as the saints. It identifies them as the children of God. The passage I'm about to read will call them brethren. He says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And we find whenever we are able by the grace of God to understand our Bibles, the Lord gives us a measure of comfort. Even if it comes in a way of chastisement for us, in a way of correction, it ends up in comforting us to know if He chastens us, it's because He loves us. If we love our children, we will chasten them and we'll correct them. It's not pleasant for us to do that, but necessity dictates that we do that. If we fail to do that, we really don't love our children as we should and as we ought. You know, there's no better guide for us to raise our children by than the Word of God, than the Bible. Because God, who made us, knows what we are and has given us good instruction on how we're to conduct ourselves. And we find great blessings when we're not ignorant of the things that God has taught us in His Word. He would not have us to be ignorant. He's left us with some measure of understanding and knowledge given to us in the Word of God. And He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, who's He talking to? He's talking to the brethren. And when He says that, He's meaning brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to understand about this. And this is a great mystery to man. It's a great mystery to us. What happens when we die? What happens when we leave this world? What happens upon the moment of death? Where do we go? What takes place? What happens to our body? What happens to our soul? What happens to our spirit? And the Lord would say, and by the Apostle Paul through inspiration, it's important for us to know that in order to be able to, in order to be able to handle it, in order to be able to go through it, in order to be able to stand up in it. But it's also that which gives God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for He has done great things for us. What good news it is to tell you that the Lord is, that the Lord reigns, that the Lord rules, that the Lord is on His throne. I talked about Him knowing things, but not only does He know them, the Lord acts, the Lord works in our lives. The Lord is the one who's the author and the finisher of our faith. The Lord is the one to whom we can look to today as we face things, because He isn't just sitting back unaware of what's taking place, but He providentially is taking care of every one of us through every step of our lives. Every step, every walk, every thought, everything we have in this world, we can look to the Lord for the strength that we stand in need of, because He is indeed with us. We already mentioned this morning that He's everywhere present and nowhere absent, but there's often times we lose that knowledge and that understanding. You may be on the way to work and going to the classroom or going to the job, and you think very little about the Lord being right with me, but He's right there. He's with you on the job. He's right there along the way. When you get to work, He's right there with you, so that when you have a trouble or a conflict or a problem, He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother that you can call upon. I say to you, we miss that so much in our lives. I know I have. And I don't want to miss it as much. I want to hear today the reality of that and embrace it, so that when I go out tomorrow and whatever I have to face this afternoon, whatever comes, I can remember the Lord is with me. How do I know He's with me? Because He said He was. And He doesn't lie. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. That means whatever He tells us in His Word, you can count on it. God is with us. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, He speaks of death as sleep. It seems a lot more than that to us, doesn't it, on this side? When one dies and one leaves us, we feel like it's a whole lot more than they're going to sleep. Because if someone goes to sleep, we say they do well. You remember the disciples when they were going along to see about Lazarus, when Martha and Mary had called and said, well, I didn't call, but they sent messages and said our brother Lazarus is sick. And they called out to the Lord. And the Lord tarried. And He tarried long enough that a Lazarus no longer was sick, but a Lazarus, Jesus said this, a Lazarus had died. But Jesus said, he sleepeth. Behold, he sleepeth. We go to see Lazarus. Behold, he sleepeth. And the disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. You know, we usually think that, don't we? You hear somebody sick, we go, well, they've gone to sleep. We usually feel good. Well, they're sleeping. That's good, because that brings restoration to the body. That restores them. That's a good thing when they're sleeping. You know? And yet, Jesus made it clear to them, as He said, you know, we're going, he's sleeping, he doeth well. He said, Lazarus is dead. But you'll find that language throughout the Scripture where sleep and death are synonymous for God's little children. You know why? Because it's not final. It's not permanent. When you go to sleep, you'll wake up. You sleep for a while, but then you wake up. And when you wake up, you're better than when you went to sleep. Sleep's a good thing. For a little child of God to be absent from the body, according to the Bible, to be absent from the body, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord. And it's far better to be absent from the body and present with the Lord than it is to be at home in the body and away from the Lord. And that, what that means is, it's better for God's little children to be with the Lord than it is to be here. Now that's hard for us to grab and hard for us to hold on to. But He would not have us to be ignorant about that. Now what does that mean? Does that mean we ought to want to die? No, it doesn't say that. What it says is, when the time comes for us to die, and there's a time to be born and a time to die, the time for us to leave this world, there's nothing better than leaving this world to go home to be with the Lord. I've often thought of it this way. The very best day you and I will ever live is the day the Lord calls us out of this world to be with Him. That'll be our very best day. No matter what day it is, or how much pain or trouble or whatever we're going through. And I do believe this, as we grow weaker in this world and our body gets weaker and we lose a lot of the physical things that, you know, we become weak in the flesh. The Bible says, when I am weak, what did Paul say? When I am weak, then am I strong. Now, what does that mean? That means to be weak physically, you become strong spiritually. You get closer to the Lord. You say, well, what if they can't talk to me? That doesn't mean Jesus can't talk to them. What if they can't think right? That doesn't mean Jesus can't be there. I'll tell you what, you just go to one of these nursing homes and start singing one of the old hymns and look around at the people that often can't even tell you what their name is, who their family are, or anything else, and you just start singing Amazing Grace. And there are those that start singing along with you and they start praising God in their heart because they may not know a whole lot of things, but they know Him. The Bible says this very clearly about that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and there's absolutely none that can separate them out of my hand or my Father's hand, and they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And it's a wonderful thing to see the work of Almighty God. It goes so far beyond anything that man can do. Listen, today, if you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. If you've ever called up to Him, it's because He called down to you. If you've ever longed to be with Him in glory, it's because He's lifted you up from the dunghills of this world and He set your feet upon a rock and He put a new song in your mouth. That's why I enjoyed the singing this morning. I looked around, y'all enjoyed it too. You couldn't hide it. It showed on your face. And you kept doing what you wanted. You know, we almost couldn't get to the preaching, because you just kept calling hymns. And I love it when it's like that. It's a sad thing when you get to a church and nobody will call a selection. That usually doesn't happen around here. A lot of people are calling a lot of selections, and that's a wonderful thing. You know why? Because you love to sing. You love to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You love to praise His name. It fits something in your heart and in your soul, but you wouldn't have that heart and that soul. How great their heart wouldn't mean a thing to you if you were not already born of the Spirit of God, and He'd awaken you to the reality of what those words say. That when I look at the heavens and the earth and all that He's made, I see the power and the might of Almighty God. I see a God who had the power and the strength not only to create the heavens and the earth, but to make every little child of God. He's the Creator God. Listen, we didn't evolute into being. He created us. Today, if you love Him, it's because He had you in His mind and His thoughts even before the very foundation of the world. And by the way, it's not just the old Baptist family that He did that for, but out of every nation and out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people, the Lord has a people. And you know how many of them He'll miss? Not one of them. Not one of them. If He'd have left it up to the preachers to do it, they'd have missed a bunch of them. If He'd have left it up to mamas and daddies, as much as mamas and daddies would want to do it, it wouldn't get done. There are responsibilities for preachers. There's responsibilities for mamas and daddies. There are responsibilities for every member and every little child of grace. But I'll tell you what, making children for the Lord is not one of them. God does that on His own, by His own power and by His own might. And none can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? He sent His only begotten Son to do a work that only He could do. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring one that's dead in sin to life in Christ. They must hear a voice bigger than the preacher or mama and daddy. They must hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, they that hear His voice, they shall live. Not maybe live, not might live. He does that. And for them, as God's little children, for them to leave this world is a great, great blessing. Oh, it's hard on those that are left behind. That's why the Lord gave us these words of comfort. You and I, our lives are filled with those that if we'd have had our way, they'd have never left this planet. They'd have been right here with us. We'd have kept them here. My mom and dad would be here today because I'd have never let go of her. My family that has been so close to me, my church family, the pews that are filled with other people today. When I first came to this church, were filled with other folks that I loved dearly, that were my family and meant so much to me. Those of you who are there with me in memory know about that. They're gone home, but I'm telling you what, their soul and their spirit is with the Lord. Their body has gone back to the dust of the earth from which it was taken. But I'm telling you, one glorious day, there's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and there's going to be a resurrection of those bodies. And that sleeping dust is going to come forth, fashioned in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a glorious thing for me to think about. And to think about them now, I think about them up in heaven. And they're happy in the Lord and with the Lord. And I have peace in my heart because of it. And I trust, and the Apostle Paul would have us to have that same peace today. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Why does he say they're asleep? Because the Lord's going to come wake them up. Now, some people get the idea that the soul is sleeping in the ground. No, it's not sleeping in the ground. Some get the idea the spirit is sleeping in the ground. No, it's not sleeping in the ground. Just the body is asleep. You know why the body is asleep? Because the soul and the spirit is absent from the body. And the body is returning back to the dust from whence it was taken. That's all man was just dust. But I'll tell you what, it was some wonderful dust, because it was dust that God made, and God keeps that dust. And when he comes, someone asks, what happens if my body gets burned and scattered? What happens if something happens to my body? I believe in a God who made the heavens and the earth. Somebody said, do you really believe that there's going to be a resurrection of the body? Well, the actual dust is going to be gathered together and made and fashioned like unto the Lord? I'll tell you something even better than that. I believe the Lord took nothing and made everything. He didn't even use dust to make it the first time. He created the dust. And then he took that dust and he formed it and fashioned it and made man. And he made in man woman. He had both of them there in that creation. And he made them and there he made man. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You believe that? If you can believe that, you shouldn't have any trouble believing he can take that same dust and gather it back together, glorify it, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. Listen, I believe it because the Lord said it. I believe it because the Bible declares it. I believe it because he said it in my heart. He's worked it on the inside. Listen, I just read it in the book. It wouldn't just mean anything to me, but when I read his book, it speaks to me. Does it speak to you? If you have an ear to hear, an eye to see, and a heart to understand, it speaks to you. And if you hear it and you can embrace it and say, oh Lord, as the little brother said, Lord, I believe. And just help my unbelief. Help me remember these truths. I want you right now just to think of all those dear loved ones that have gone home to be with the Lord. I want you to remember this. Don't be sad about that as much as you can. I know there's a part of us that sorrows. He says something about that in just a second. But I want you to remember they're happy and with the Lord. They're enjoying His presence. They are not in a bad shape. They're with Him. And I'll tell you, when we're with Him, how do we feel? When you can feel the Lord with you, you can take anything, can't you? When you feel the Lord with you, the doctor can give you the worst news and it's okay, because you feel the Lord with you. When you feel the Lord with you, you can handle the worst news, the most difficult situation, because you're on a solid rock, and that rock will not be shaken when everything around you gets shook. And they're not only seeing Him as we do through an eye of faith. Listen, faith's a wonderful thing. It's like seeing through a glass darkly. It's like looking at a picture and through a glass, and it's kind of cloudy. You can't see a clear image. That's the way, you know, the best preaching that you ever heard, you're still seeing through a glass darkly. I've heard some preaching that seemed to make it mighty clear, though, haven't you? I've heard some preaching at times that made me feel like I was right there. Made me feel as if, and I believe Jesus was sitting there right with me, and I feel His embrace and the touch of His gentle hand, and could lean on Him and depend upon Him. I felt that. But even that, as long as we're in this world, because of the old flesh and the weakness of the flesh, we're still seeing through a glass darkly. You know, when that which is perfect is come, we'll see Him as He is. We'll see Him face to face. My dear little sister Fanny Crosby, who wrote those wonderful hymns, who could not see and was blind, she sang about the time when I can see Him face to face, when I can see His glorious face. Somebody said, what's going to be the wonders of heaven? I believe it's going to be great to see all our loved ones who've gone on before. I'm looking forward to that. But I'll tell you what, that's not the beauty of heaven. That the real beauty of heaven is seeing Jesus, the one who loved you so much that He died for you and paid a sin debt for you, who suffered the great agony of the cross so that you might be with Him in glory, and who's taken care of you down through this world. Jesus has daily loaded our lives with so many blessings and benefits. Brethren, we ought to be on our edge of our seats right now just thinking, Lord, how can I praise you better? How can I honor you better? How can I learn more about you? How can I be more at peace about it? How can I live in a way to give thee the honor and the glory better in my life? Because Lord, you've been so good to me. You fill my life with all kinds of blessings. I didn't deserve any of them, and yet you daily loaded me with those wonderful things. And we do have so many precious memories of God's goodness and God's mercy shown unto us. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Now, some people get the idea that means you're not supposed to cry. I always think about what Jesus did. When that death of Lazarus, Jesus, that little short verse says Jesus wept. And I thought, you know, the most powerful man on the face of the earth that ever walked, that ever lived here. You want to see a man's man? You want to see, you know, some people talk about Jesus like a little weak, effeminate character. Read your Bible. You'll see that Jesus was everything but a weak, effeminate character. And that man, that humble, he was the humble and lowly Lamb of God. And yet he spoke with such great might and power. He spoke to the ocean. He spoke to the sea and calmed the storm. He spoke and it happened. He's the one who spoke this world into existence. There he was at the death of Lazarus. And he's about to bring Lazarus forth from the dead in John chapter 11. He's about to bring him forth. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He said his death was for the glory of God, because his death was about to bring about the wonderful truth that Jesus can speak. And when Jesus speaks, the dead are brought back to life. Isn't that wonderful? I'm telling you, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he didn't say, Lazarus, would you please come forth? Lazarus, would you do something? Lazarus, would you take the first step? No, he cried out, and he did that which nobody else could do. You know what everybody else could do? They could simply mourn. That's all they could do. They mourned over the loss of Lazarus. Martha was weeping, Mary was weeping, and they said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And that is true. And Jesus stood there at the, you know, where Jesus was, people didn't die. And those that did die, he brought back. I mean, he stopped them. Remember when he stopped the funeral procession and the little the child was in the coffin, and he stopped that procession and he brought that little child back to life and presented it to its mother? I'll tell you what, that's the kind of God that we serve. That was according to his will. And here at the death of Lazarus, Lazarus has died. No one can help. All they can do is weep. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus. He's bound up hand and foot. Had to float out of there, didn't he? He couldn't have walked. He was wrapped up. And he comes forth. And Lazarus comes forth. And Jesus says, looks to his disciples, he says, loose him and let him go. You know, that's what the gospel really does to God's little children. It doesn't make you alive, but it pulls the grave clothes off of you. It looses you and lets you go. To have an understanding of this gives you some liberty. It doesn't take away all the pain. It doesn't take away all the sorrow. Jesus wept to show us that, and he showed us that it was okay. There's a time to weep, and there's some crying that we can do, and it gives us peace and rest. And yet we're not to be overly sorrowful. That's what he's talking about, that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Remember this. We don't believe that they're gone forever. We just believe they're gone for a while. I've often thought of it this way. When our kids went off to college, I mean, I'll tell you what, bringing mama back from that place when they dropped the kids off and riding back up the road, she'd cry. She'd cry all the way. I was crying too, but tried not to cry so much. But riding up the road. Now, why were we crying? We weren't crying because we didn't think we'd see them again. We weren't crying because we thought something terrible was happening. If we'd have known everything that was going to go on, we might have cried even more. We weren't crying about that. We were crying because we missed them. We missed them being at the house. Sometimes, I want to share this. Yesterday we got home, and a little boy was standing over in our driveway, right on the edge, just looking at our house, looking right at it. And Sharon said, what's he doing? I said, I have no idea. He probably was 10, 11. I don't know. But he's sitting there looking at our driveway. And we got out the car, and he goes, He said, when y'all go in, would you tell your kids to come out and play with us, play with me? I thought, well, see, we'd had the grandchildren over the day before. So he thought, boy, I got some buddies here. So I'm going to have some more. He said, would you tell them to come out and play with me? And I said, sir, I'm sorry, but that was our grandchildren. We don't have any kids. And I missed y'all, though. I missed the idea that I didn't have any kids. I missed them. You miss that, don't you? Some of those times, you miss them. I'm telling you, these little ones in these, you enjoy every moment of it. Because sometimes at some point, if things go the way they're supposed to, the house is going to get a little empty. It's going to get a little empty. I'll tell you what's wonderful to know is Jesus fills our homes and supplies their homes and takes care of them. When you leave that little one at college or leave them where somewhere, you go, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, whatever they go to, I don't know how I'm going to make it. But you know, the Lord supplies. I tell you, when you leave one at a graveside and you have to go away and leave them there, it's a hard, hard thing to think about. But I want you to remember this. There in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, all is well. They're in a good place. And you sorrow, not you can sorrow, but don't sue sorry as those who have no hope. Because one day, by the grace of God, we're going to be gathered together. And there won't be any need for the eyeglasses. There won't be, as I often said, no need for the false teeth. You won't have to worry about your hearing. You won't have to worry about your knees aching or having a walker or a wheelchair. There'll be no coffins over there. There's a place that is fairer than day that He prepared for us that we will have by His grace. And God's children have already entered that. They're happy and at home with the Lord. And that should give us great, great peace. And one day the Lord's coming to get us. He said that. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and this tells you how all of this is true. Listen, there'd be no heaven if it were not for Jesus dying and rose again. At least one we'd be able to go to. There'd be no home awaiting us if it were not for Jesus dying and rising again. If it was not for the resurrection, we'd have no hope of a resurrection. There would be no good news to talk about. As a matter of fact, he said if there's no resurrection, and I wanted to get to this, time won't allow, but read 1 Corinthians 15, read the whole chapter. And as you read that chapter, you'll see if there's no resurrection, then everything we're doing is a waste of time this morning. I don't believe it's a waste of time. I don't believe you do either. You know why? Because Jesus went to the grave, but He came forth from the grave. He rose again. And by the same power of His resurrection, every one of God's little children will rise again. They will come forth from that grave. He died for them, not only their soul, not only their spirit, but He died for their body. He paid the sin debt. They are completely bought and paid for. You know how much Jesus I have of what He bought and paid for? He'll have every bit of it, every part of it. There won't be any part missing. All that is given to Him shall come to Him, and he that cometh to Him I will in no wise cast out. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him which has sent me, and this is the Father's will, that all that He had given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And that's a promise of Almighty God. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That means when the Lord comes again, He's going to bring all of the spirits and all of the souls of the saints that have gone home to be with the Lord, and they're coming with Him, and there's going to be a great cloud. He's coming in the cloud. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That word prevent means go before them which are asleep. Because there's going to be a resurrection first of those that are asleep. Who are those that are asleep? Their body's asleep. Their soul and spirit is with the Lord. They're coming again with the Lord. And there's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Who's coming? The Lord Himself. Isn't that good? He's not leaving it up to anyone else. And He says it with the voice of the archangel. I believe that's the voice of the chief angel. The voice of the one who's in charge of the angel. I believe that's the voice of the Son of God. I believe it's the one who's sent from God. The one who's above all others. The voice of the archangel. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a voice that's heard around the world. He said, Lazarus come forth. Some brethren have said, if He hadn't have said, Lazarus come forth, He'd emptied the cemetery. All I know is he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he knew. And you know who came forth? Lazarus. One day he'll speak the names of every one of his children and they will all come forth. There'll be the voice of the archangel. And there'll be a resurrection both of the just and the unjust. This passage is dealing with the just. It's dealing with those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Who is it that's just? The ones that Jesus died and paid for. Who is it that will be with him in heaven in immortal glory? Remember, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, those whom he predestinated, those are he also called. And those whom he called, them he also justified. He died for them. There's the just. And who are those that are going to be glorified? Those whom he justified, he also glorified. You know how sure this is? Paul in Romans 8 talks about it as if it's already done. Just as good as done. Isn't that wonderful to know that's the power of God? He says, for we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Today you and I ought to live looking for that. We ought to get up each day thinking today could be today. You know what that'll do for you? It'll make you think a whole lot better. It'll make you live a whole lot better. It'll make you act and behave. You'll be a better daddy. You'll be a better mama. You'll be a better grandparent. You'll be better when you remember every day the Lord could be coming today. The promise here, as Paul wrote it, as if it could be that very day, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Can you get this picture? There's going to be a change. The graves are going to open. God's little children are going to meet him in the air. And we who are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Over in Colossians, in the book of Colossians, in 1 Colossians, it's Philippians. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, he said this. He said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21 of Philippians 3. He said, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's who's coming. The one who's going to change us. And he said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's a promise for every one of God's little children. What does he tell us about this? Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. I believe that's something we've heard it preached. I know you've heard this preached many times before. I hope I hear it preached many times again too, don't you? I hope I keep reminding one another of that. When you start feeling like and getting down, just remember the Lord's coming. He's coming. He said he was and he is. Brethren, we by faith embrace this and we want to live by it and act and behave accordingly. And it does. It's the difference between changing your behavior in order to get something to happen versus something has already taken place and the Lord has done something. And because of that, you and I ought to change our behavior. We ought to act different, talk different, think different, behave differently. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's the sweet promises of the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And I appreciate your kind attention this morning. I love you, brother. Hope that was clear. God bless you.